What up?
I'll take you to the musky shop. La bait ain't all we've got. The top boys go blah, blah, blah. Let him show you his favorite spot, Frenny. I'll take you to the musky shop.
Yeah.
Show his favorite spot.
I'm gonna knock you up in the house. Hey, we're representing.
Waka waka.
All right, folks, welcome to the Musky 360 podcast. Jay Bird, that was straight gangster.
Boy!
Boy! In the
That's
house.
That's how I roll.
That was nasty.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, I heard some great backing tracks in there. Manak will represent.
Not me. Anyway, how
that
was
wasn't you? Oh, okay.
How was your Tranksgiving?
Oh, man, it was awesome. Awesome.
What'd
how
you
about
do?
You?
We do pasta. I hate turkey. The tryptophan puts me to sleep.
I saw some pictures from your wife.
Well.
Looked good.
Yeah, well, whatever. What did you do?
I went to southern Wisconsin and hung out with my family and then over at my friend's house.
They
had a great time.
Bet they hated it.
Good times.
When's this guy going to leave? Anyway, if you've not Black Friday'd or Cyber Monday'd, I think there's a little bit of time left. We got the 10% going off at Musky Shop across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Not much time left, but a little bit. Ends the 28th at midnight. That's going on. There'll be a couple other specials over the winter. Other than that, I mean, the only thing I can tell you that are back in, we got the sign up on the Livingston Lures Titan Junior, which I got crazy pictures back today. So there's a guy that's filming a show for Netflix, Jay. I told you about this.
Yeah.
Smoked so many big walleye on that thing today. He got like a walleye, bunch of big walleye, a big pike, and a muskie on it.
Yeah.
So sign-ups are coming for that. We're going to put new colors up on that here very shortly, so the actual pictures of the bait.
Oh, so that's right.
Yeah, if you're not signed up for the Titan Junior, that's the 6-inch version of the Titan. So many people are like, oh, we want a smaller Titan. Yeah, well.
Well, I do too. You should send me all those samples, and I'll take pictures of them for you.
Ah.
Just send them straight to my house.
Soon, young Padawan, soon. So that we got a couple sets of the blade back in. If you guys are looking for planer boards, Josh turned out some more blades. Those are in, and we did a couple neat things for the holidays. If your significant other's like, hey, what do you want for Christmas? We got a 6-pack, a 12-pack, and a pro pack now.
Yep.
So there's a 6-pack of musky lures. Comes with a plainest box.
Plano.
My apologies. Never heard of them. You got a 12-pack, comes with the plainest box.
Yep.
And then the pro pack.
So that's brand new.
Uh-huh. If you're new to the game, you're looking to get in there, it's a new setup we've got going on here. It's got everything.
Yeah.
So
that's the thing.
You got jerk baits, you got spinner baits, you got bucktails, you got topwaters, you got gliders, you got a rod, you got a net, you got a float roller. Whoa.
Reel and line. Yeah, I mean, everything's set up for you. You know, all this stuff is hand-picked. It's like, if you want a good selection, one click will do it.
Well,
for
pretty cool.
Your significant other. Yeah, it's real easy shopping that way.
We'll get a lot of the... What do I get my husband for Christmas? Give him the pro pack.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, new coffee ornaments are in. Musky shop bulbs for your tree.
We got a bunch more Lakewood tackle boxes in. We got a bunch more Wreck and Rack tackle boxes in today or Friday. Stuff's pouring in. So
there you go. Got that going on. So.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, Jay, is it all froze up yet or no? Because I'm hearing there's open water.
No. No, there's open water. No, yeah. I don't know. Low 40s, I guess, on some of the lakes. Jim went out. He cut out early today with his brother. And they figured it might be. We got a snowstorm coming tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So, and then some cold temperatures. It might be done after that. on some of the local big lakes for us. Granted, big lakes around here aren't that big compared to what most people's standards, but like Lake Tomahawk, I think they were heading out there. It's really close to the Muskie Shop, and it's like 3,000 acres, but it's pretty much wide open, so they're going to go out there and do some trolling, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. So what we wanted to gab about for a little bit, it's a holiday. We're a day late. Oh, well. Just talk about sonar, because I've gotten a ton of texts, a ton of emails, Jay. People have been Black Fridaying on electronics.
Yeah. So you got confusing subject. There's a lot out there.
There's a lot of stuff. So, you know, not going to be able to cover every single aspect. But I wanted to just touch on some of the different... Hold on. That's Josh Krieger, shall we? Let's just get him.
What?
It's my buddy Josh Krieger. Hold on, Jay. Josh Krieger.
Yep.
You are live on the Muskie 360 podcast. You just beat me. How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Josh, it's Jay. How's it going?
Hey, Jay. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, man.
You just came in, Josh, right at the intro, right?
Yep. Okay.
So you got time. We're going to do a podcast, and we're going to talk about the different kinds of just electronics we have available to us as Muskie anglers. You want to do this thing?
Sure. Yeah.
Let's do it. So anyway... Cool. So, me and Josh, we were texting. I've texted so many people. There's a bunch of sales going on, a bunch of different stuff going on as far as electronics. So, we got the fearsome threesome here to talk electronics. So, first and foremost, you don't need a lot to catch muskies, period, right? You could theoretically go out in a John boat with no electronics. If you understand seasonality, you can catch fish, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, yep. What we're always talking on the podcast, we're talking about understanding structure, understanding forage movements, understanding what the bait's doing. So let's just, from bare bones basic, because I've not primed Josh on this. He literally just beeped in. If you want to be on the podcast, just beep me while we're doing it. Let's talk about bare bones. So the absolute bare bones units right now, Josh, I would say what are... Lowrance hook.
Mm-hmm. Five. The Helix, yeah. Five from Hummingbird.
Mm-hmm. Piranha Max.
Yeah, that's even lower end, I suppose, yeah.
And down to, the, like, there's a Garmin Striker, which is like a 119, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you're going to get from some of these units, you go, everybody's in a different place financially. Who cares? I mean, muskies don't take a resume. They definitely don't look at your tax return. You know, it's like, this guy's not spending enough money to catch me. So you can have bare bones. I mean, Josh, when you first met me, before things sort of turned the tide, right?
Yep.
You can attest, I had an Eagle 2 on the front of my boat. Whoa.
Yep.
Whoa. Bingo. That's old school, right? It told me how deep I was and the temperature. But really, I would say of anything we have available to us in the realm of electronics, the depth that we're the bow setting in, and the temperature is probably the most important. Period. Now, let's go absolute. We're going to go from budget to maxing out, right?
Yep.
Absolute budget, Josh. You've got $150 to spend. You've got a John boat, and you can have one unit. What are you thinking about? What do you want? Do you want like the? Do you think the down scans are different? Is it a matter of down scan? Is it a matter of like some structure scan? Is it just a depth and temperature? And are you putting that on your trolling motor? Or are you putting on the back of the boat? If you got one unit, you got a super budget. You're a Krieger special.
So if I can only use one unit, and I'm on like a John boat or something, mm-hmm. I definitely want my locator essentially like at the equivalent of your console. So at mm-hmm. the back of the boat.
Right.
And if I'm fishing out of a boat like that where I have one locator and it's at the back, I'll just fish out of the back of the boat.
Right.
Whereas if I'm running a larger boat that only has one locator and it's like right in the middle on the console, I prefer it still there on the console and get a ram mount or something so you can turn it and still see it in the front of the boat.
Right.
So you know, that just allows you to at least see everything as you're driving around. And then while you're fishing, you can still see what's going on in the water.
I think from a guiding perspective, right? Because, Jay, you run a, and Jay, you're a great example of this. You run a riverboat nine times out of 10. What are you running on that?
I think I got like a hook five on there, maybe with, right. You know, with mapping and everything.
Right.
So I can split screen that, have the mapping, which I don't need because I go to familiar spots, you know, most of the time, but it's there and you can see your course and, you know, it's got decent down imaging and, of course, temperature.
So
basic. Screen's a little small for my eyesight, but,
I bought you a Hummingbird, I thought too. What'd you do with it?
Yep.
You sell it for crack?
It's just sitting around. Until I run two units on that boat, I guess.
You trade it for a Tumnus pedal?
Not yet.
So, we're creaking. We're in the JSE Super Rig, a river rig. Because, I mean, that's the thing. If you're fishing these small rivers, Wisconsin River, all this other stuff, it's tiny boats. You're not fitting a big rig in that stuff.
Right.
How are we able, as Jay, you're a lifelong muskie angler, Josh, me and you are guides, we've got something like a Garmin Striker 4 or a Hook 5 or the Piranha Max. How do we take a unit like that in a small boat and use it to catch more muskies? All right. So I'll start. Okay. My thing is this. Number one, the information, and it's basic stuff. I'm not looking for ninja secrets here so much as just what you got and how to make the most out of it. For a unit of that size, it is going to tell me, A, obviously, my depth and my temperature, right? But what I'm going to be paying attention to are holes, divots, and structural changes, even on that small screen. Because, Jay, we've talked about it. You've got a good read for where the deep pockets are, right?
Yeah, sure.
Krieger, I know you John boat right up and down some of these channels. Oh, yeah. Between this stuff. Oh, paying yeah. attention to that screen, because you can get that much information. Because a lot of times when you're a small boat, you're canoeing, you're whatever you're in. Kayak. I mean, we got a ton of kayak musky anglers in the game right now, right?
Yeah, we really do.
When you see that depth change, that tapering edge, interpreting those holes, those pockets, those structural irregularities off of that, you can really dial in on that, right? That's the first thing you need to be paying attention to, because if we're bare bones, we got $120 in the setup, $150, whatever it is. We can use it to catch more muskies by being observant of the structure and the temperature, because the thing is this, why is that so important? It is understanding where your hot spots are, your cold spots, and where the forage is. Now, downscan, and that's going to be overarching pretty much across every unit, right? But even on a small unit like a 4-inch, 5-inch screen, just because you have a small screen does not mean you're not seeing as much as somebody that has a 50-inch screen on their fish finder.
You're seeing the same stuff. It's just not as zoomed in, so it's harder to read it. That's just, I mean, where it comes down to spending time on the water and learning how to read your locator.
Right.
You know, I got a buddy who can read a 7-inch helix better than half the guys out there with a 10-inch, right. You know, just because he knows what he's looking at.
I would say that's so true, Josh, because like downscan, when I'm talking downscan, I'm talking your 2D sonar, right?
Okay, yeah.
Your arches, just like you were talking. Bare bones minimum.
That's what I use, yeah, to read the bait. I don't think you need the down imaging, yes. The simple sonar works very efficiently.
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing that, like, a lot of these, whether we buy the Hummingbird Solix or we buy Panoptics or we buy whatever, you have that down imaging. So if you're a guy that it's a budget thing, right? So we're talking that low-end unit, you're going to get that. So we just talked about, we can pay attention to structure. Now, let's say that you have bare bones, right? The absolute bottom barrel. What's probably the cheapest unit, Josh, that you know of? I left.
The Rance Hook, Piranha Max by Hummingbird. Yeah. that kind of stuff. I mean, no GPS, just kind of your sonar.
Right. Hold on for a second. Oh, I mean, not COVID, though. Yeah, so, you know, I just pulled it up, the old Wally World, right? I mean, down to 139. I mean, so, like, if you're musky fishing and you don't have something on the boat, come on. I mean, $99, Hummingbird Piranha Max. It's a vertical unit. What you can get out of these units is the same thing you can get out of your high-end. Obviously, your depth, your temperature. The other thing I would say is this, is you can actually see vegetation, right, on that downscan. So, one thing you can get the most out of that lower-end unit, or that first fish finder, if you will, you can find edges, right? And the way you find an edge is we're coming into that littoral zone. We're coming to that shallow zone, right? We're going to drive in. And once we see that weedage, you can conceptualize where that's at. Now, if I'm a guy that I don't have mapping, let's say I'm fishing Jay and Josh, I'm up in your neck of the woods, right?
Yep.
I'm fishing three lakes. I got a small, tiny boat. I've got a $99 fish finder. I feel totally undergunned, right? I see all these pros running around. They've got screens everywhere. Some of the guys in the musky business right now look like they're fishing out of a Best Buy, right? They got screens everywhere.
Absolutely.
You don't have to have 14 screens in the back of the boat and 15 in the front to be efficient. One thing I'd say to this is if I'm a budget conscientious angler and I have just simple downscan sonar, that 2D stuff, so I've got 2D, I've got depth, and I got temperature. What I'm going to add in conjunction with that, which I think is ultra important, is the Navionics app.
Yeah.
Right? Do you have that on your phone, Josh?
I do, yeah. I mean, it's like $10 or something like that. Totally worth it.
I have that as a backup, and I mean, it saved me a couple times. Like if your boat goes dead, or whether you have the ultimate budget or basement barrel budget, that app, I believe, like you said, it's like $9.99 a year.
Navionics. Yeah, it has some lakes that like your $150 Lake Master chips don't have.
I mean, what's cool with that is. I know I've got a backup GPS system in some capacity, so I know where I'm at. Like, if I'm worried about, let's say the fish finders die, and I'm worried about hitting a reef or there's sandbars or whatever it is, I've got that literally in my pocket on my phone as a backup. If I've got one bar of service, I can make that work, right? But let's say you're fishing that neck of the woods, you got good cell service. If you've only got the $100, $150 budget for a fish finder, you now have mapping on your phone for $10. If you're listening to the podcast, there's hardly a human being in the game right now that doesn't have a smartphone.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't played around a ton with actually like marking stuff up, because obviously I have the locators to do that, but I believe they allow you to actually mark spots on there too.
You can mark waypoints from your phone.
Yep. I believe so.
Yeah, and you're getting essentially what I would say the base maps before we get into mapping and all the hiring stuff, but you're getting like Lowrance Navionics base maps for every lake on that app. And I've actually ran into a couple of times, like you said, some of these lakes where you're paying big money for those chips. I have ran into situations where that map on my phone is better than one at my console. So,
same.
You know, if you are just budget conscientious, you're running a river rig, you're running a creeker rig, that's probably the best setup. Is you got your cell phone, whether it be Apple, whether it be Android, it works on both, and for $110. You now have mapping and you have downscan and sonar.
No, not to mention you can do your homework at night too after you get off the water with that on your phone.
Yeah.
Incredible detail. It's very useful.
Well, and the thing is this, and I mean, like I said, we have nothing to do with that application. Let me see if it's still up. Last time I was on there, there's a chart viewer at navionics.com where you can actually view lake maps. Yep. Still up there. And so you could do all your homework, you know, listen to the multitude of structure podcasts we've done. Do your homework, mark the spots on your phone, and go out and fish them. Right? So if it's a matter of dollars and donuts, you've got some options there. So, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at some water I fish all the time right here, and you go, okay, yeah, that is as perfect as it gets, which is navionics.com, their chart viewer. So that in conjunction with a $100 unit, I think you're in the game.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like, you know, it's not where I want to be. It's not like the most convenient, but you know, even down to there's so many options right now on Amazon and some of these other places that sell just straight electronics. You could get the cheapest tablet on earth, right?
And just pull up the Navionics app on it and Navionics. Throw it on your boat.
Boom. Sure, and sure. Yeah, you tether it to your phone and now you're like rocking and rolling. You know, I'm looking here. My goodness, I'm looking at the Navionics app as we go. And seeing what's on here. I mean, structurally, it's spot on. There's a lot of stuff you can't do as far as changing things. But if I were in that position where money is an object, the wife's screaming, Josh, why are you spending so much money on baits? $100, phone app, you got it. So back to quickly to that scenario, right? As far as the down scan, whether it's a budget thing, whether it's a high-end thing, with down scan sonar, what are you looking for, Josh?
Bait.
Right.
Weed edges. The structures you mentioned, holes, could be river channels, you know, if you're fishing a flowage or the river itself.
Mm-hmm.
You're just cribs. I mean, you can honestly.
Bottom hardness.
Yeah, absolutely. You can tell all that stuff just from that 2D. To be honest with you, I mean, I do run more expensive locators, and when I'm driving around, I don't use down imaging or even my side imaging all that often. I'm using the sonar a lot more. I want to know, you know, what the bait fish are looking like and what the predators that are most likely underneath those balls of bait are doing as well.
So a couple things we can point out here, and this is not a budget thing. Like I said, this is all your down scanner, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
Couple things that stand out to me, or maybe the first thing we'll discuss, and I'll let Josh, you and I talked about this a couple times for the last decade, right?
Yeah.
What do crappies do?
Mm-hmm. Typically, you know, yeah, they suspend out deep.
And they stack.
But they kind of, yeah, they stack vertically, which most other fish don't really do. The only other fish that really stack vertically like that, but they tend to do it in deeper water and more dense, would be Ciscos.
Ciscos. So a little trick you can get on your downscan sonar, your simple sonar, right? You're going to go through.
Definitely turn off the fish ID. Those little fish icons, those are to sell you on the locator. You need to kind of learn how to read what you're looking at. It's more dots and arches. It's a lot more complex than little fish icons.
Right. That's what I'm trying to get at. So, but great point.
Yeah.
No matter what uni you have, turn off the fish ID, right? Which is going to be everything that goes by the, there could be a leaf under the water being fish.
Yep. Debris.
Pointing out what you're looking at. So let's say where it's the spring or the fall or whatever it is, and we see this thing that sometimes it almost would resemble standing timber, right?
Mm-hmm.
Arch, up and down. At times that's crappies, right? You know, you look at a bait ball. If you guys are going, what are bait balls? What do they look like? The one thing I'd say is a tip. If you're under power, if you're on your big motor, you're moving, and you see this distortion, right? Like a green ball or even red, whatever it might be.
Yeah, that just depends on your palette right. settings, the color. I mean,
right. But at times that's because you're under power. But if you see, like, I've seen people look at my screens and we're talking about in the button, they go, huh, what's that? And I go, that's a bait ball, which you see these shiners of these minnows. They're clouds on the screen, right? Josh, what are some of the things, like, you're looking down and you go, boom, instantly you know what that is.
Arches underneath a big ball of bait like that. You know, when you're seeing like a bunch of little dots on the screen, mm-hmm. that's still bait fish, but it's all scattered.
Right.
And if you think about it, there's strength in numbers. So just like, you know, when the fish are suspended or even on edges of weeds, you want to look for dense balls as mm-hmm. opposed to, like, there could be a lot of bait in the area, but the fish are going to school up really tightly if there's predators in the area feeding on those fish.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm looking for. I tell my clients, especially with younger kids, they love this. We're looking for the stressed, scared bait fish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're Absolutely. Swimming around all happy and free wherever they no. want, there's no predators around. So yeah, we're looking for those scared fish.
Right.
And that's going to lead us to the muskies typically.
And scared fish gang up.
Yep. Yep. So, and then you see the arches underneath or yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. they'll be there even if you don't see them. They're there. If the bait's there, the predators are there.
You know, and on your screen, what does it look like?
Well, the more dense, the better. So again, depending on the colors you have set up, mm-hmm. I mean, I use the yellow to red scale.
Mm-hmm.
So as you know, as you get more red, you know, that's more dense. That means they're packed up tighter and tighter and tighter.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, obviously the bigger the balls, the better. So if you can, okay, that came out a little wrong, but you know, yeah, the bigger schools, the better. And yeah, if they're tightly compact and you're finding big schools, I definitely would, you know, fish the area.
Right. You know, that's the thing is like people see on that down scan, you're seeing all these little specks and arches. And I think mm-hmm. a lot of times, like people will see in that down scan methodology, they're going to see bass, walleye, you know, whatever in that body of water. And you're going to realize quickly that we're not looking for that one-off. And I think that's the biggest thing is like, if I have, again, back to our budget setup, we got our phone app for mapping and we got our budget unit. That budget unit is still going to show you that down scan. It's still going to show you bait. It's still going to show it in relation, right?
That's all you need. And the secret to fishing is the fish where the fish are.
Fish, but so. Ain't that the truth? I mean, on any given day, it's like fishing small areas. Something that should be pointed out, though, Jay pointed out, in that down scan, whether, again, from our budget stuff to our high end, is the bottom composition, right?
Yep.
How to interpret that? Now, I run basically the same old, everything I run looks like the old school Lowrance, right? The white background. Red is the hardest and so on and so on, or black. But reading, even on your cheaper depth finders, you're going to see bottom hardness.
Right? Absolutely.
Yep. Same as the balls of bait. I mean, as right. far as density.
Right. And so what you're reading, if you're looking at one of these screens and let's say you're new to fishing or you've been doing it 20 years or whatever, you're an electronics guru. The darker the color, the denser things are. I think regardless of what setting or what color palette you have set up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
So if I'm seeing red things, right, on my finder, red things are dense, right? If
rocks.
I'm seeing right, rocks,
you know,
muskies,
yeah.
carp, you know, if I'm seeing a hard return, that's what we're looking for, is a hard return. Now, what you can see on this downscan sonar, in which is so helpful, is where things transition. Now, a whole other podcast, a whole other subject of why that's important, but even on your cheapest of units, if you're paying attention when you come into structural areas, so you've got your phone, you've got either you've done your map work or whatever it is, you can find where these transitional zones are, right? You can find these. Go ahead.
I was just going to say a little tip for that too. A lot of times, you know, if you're struggling to find them, mm-hmm. they typically appear around contour changes. There will be some kind of break a lot of right. times where it transitions from one to the other.
Well, sure. That's sure. why the map, you know, we would be so wrong to tell people you don't need a map. You know, I mean, it's so, I don't know if I could function anymore without some kind of mapping on the boat. But like you just said, Josh, if you're coming, say you're coming off a point, right?
Yeah.
And most points are either rocky, 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 soft bottom, or soft bottom, soft bottom, soft bottom, rocky. One of the two. Right?
Typically, yeah.
And so getting a feel for that. Now, you know, like I said, why is that important? There can be the transitional zones. The bottom composition, a lot of times, I think, denotes seasonality. Right. Yeah. But with that being said, like you said, underseeing that bottom transition and being able to mark it and come back to it and repeat it. Anyway, you know, quick break there. Jay had to microwave his hungry man dinner. Jay, what was in it? You get the meatloaf with the apples?
No, you're making this all up.
I am. Sorry.
You know what? I was thinking, well, you took that little break there. One other thing. If you're seeing arches, you're moving.
What?
If you're seeing arches on your screen, you're moving.
Right.
Josh, what happens when you're on spot lock?
A lot of times can just be like a big, long line that doesn't move on the screen.
Yeah. Good point,
yep.
Jay.
Yep.
But before we like in like I said, this 2D, I just call it downscan sonar, right? Or simple sonar, mm-hmm. right? You're basically
right.
Same stuff your paper had. I mean, when you're on the river rig, are you? I mean that whether it's a 50-inch screen or a 5-inch screen, whatever it is, that's the same information is what I'm getting at. What are you looking for primarily? Is it like, are the bait fish out deep? Are the bait fish shallow? Are you looking for, because I think the biggest information I can get from mine is the depth that the bait fish are at, which is going to highly influence presentation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. What the bait is doing. I mean, I'm fishing a lot of shallow waters. Mm-hmm. So like if I'm not marking bait out in the open suspended water and I'm not marking it on the edges, it's very hard to actually definitively pick it out on 2D sonar that mm-hmm. it's inside of the weeds. Right. But you can deductively conclude, I mean, if you drive around your structure spots right, and they're not out deep and they're not on the edge, they got to be in the weeds. So that is, I mean, that is one thing you might not necessarily see on the screen, but with deductive reasoning and knowing what's going on, you can figure that out.
Well, that's a great point because, I mean, we did for years, we didn't have any of the other crap we're going to talk about.
Right.
And you go, well, there's nothing out here. There's not, you know, it's the Buck Perry. There's nothing deep. There's nothing mid. There's nothing shallow, whether in the crap. And the other thing I'd say this, and this is from years of doing it, in a cold front, on occasion, if you got to stare at that screen, you will see that one arch or those two arches. And I'm not talking big muskies. I'm talking just things, right? A fish that's barely off the bottom. So if you're fishing a cold front and that's what you have that downscan sonar, the 2D, whatever you want to call it. If your deductive reasoning says, whoa, things have dropped down, you can sort of pick out where things are just based on a tiny bit of information, right? Where a bait fish is just barely off the bottom or some kind of game fish is just barely off the bottom, which is the adverse of what you just said, Josh. But like, let's say you go out and you're not seeing anything deep. You're not seeing anything on the edges, on that mid, that first contact point in the structure fishing. And we fish the weeds. But we go back out and say that mid depth there, that 10 to 12, that 15, and we're seeing just a couple little hooks on the bottom, right?
Yep.
That can be the thing that says, whoa, they dropped down.
Well, and the other thing is, too, you got to be open-minded throughout the day. Because I mean, patterns can change even during the day.
Oh, absolutely.
I've had it where in the morning the fish were buried in the weeds. We were fishing the weeds, and then you know the sun came out and the fish moved deeper off the edges, and we were fishing deep edges the rest of the day.
Right.
You know, so stuff does move throughout the day.
Absolutely.
So keep in mind, you know, you might have to, if you were not seeing it right away, you know, and you're buried in the slop and you're not moving anything and the noon hour comes around or something and it's sunny, you know, check out again.
Well, and that a lot of that's keeping up with your, like you said, the timing of the day, your majors, your minors, when things are moving in, when things are moving out.
Yep.
But, you know, like... And like, Jay, you fish rivers pretty much nonstop. You know, with rivers, everything's, for lack of a better term, is fluidity, right? Bait fish, obviously the water's moving, everything's moving. You know, is it what depth they're moving at for you more so than anything, or how much they're moving? What's your thought?
The concentration of fish on edges, really.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. So that's the one determining factor and where to start.
Absolutely. And, be where the fish. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's be where the fish are.
Yeah.
With all things. So before we move on, you know, and it's not about what unit you have or whatever. We were sort of talking about the budget conscientious, but, you know, as you move up. One thing I wanted to point out with that simple, because that's what I have with the nose in my boat, right? I don't have side scan or down scan off the nose, off my trolling motor. I have just like the basic down, right? And Josh, I know you've done this. I don't know, Jay, if you've done this. You can use your simple, your cheapest sonar rigs as basically a live imaging while you're jigging, right?
Yep.
You can see the arch of your jig, so your Bondi bait or your fuzzy does it, and if any arches come in on that thing, and that's if that's not something you've done, let's say you're a John boater, a kayaker, or whatever, you know, you got a small boat, a bass and buggy, whatever you got. If you got one of these simple units, you can actually see fish come in while you're jigging. Now, there's going to be a slight delay. But you will see the arch of your jig. You can see if I sweep the rod, you know, let's say I sweep the rod 2 feet like you should be doing, or a foot and a half, whatever. You're going to see the lope. You're going to see this mark if you're doing it right under the transducer from your Bondi or your fuzzy does it. And you will see big marks come in on that. And I sort of call that poor man's panoptics in some regard.
Yeah, I know. I'm not familiar with necessarily the other units because I ran Hummingbirds for the longest time. And like before all the live imaging and everything, when we would jig, we would turn the locator on max mode,
right?
Which was essentially to maximize that technology for us to use while for, you know, vertical jigging.
Well, let me ask you this. And like I said, we don't have a game plan on this. We're just riffing, right?
Yep. What
do you like about Hummingbird? What are the things you like about Hummingbird? And I'll give you what I hate about it.
Yes, he will.
No, I know. We've kind of had this discussion before. And to be honest with you, since I ran that Garmin, I will go nothing but Garmin if I'm buying new. They're just a little more expensive, but I definitely think their technology is worth it. But what I like more about Hummingbird than the Rants is just, I mean, I guess it's part of it is just comfortability for me. I grew up on it and it's what I'm accustomed to, and I feel like it's more user friendly. You talk to someone who ran a Lowrance for 5 years and they say that's more user friendly. So a lot of it is just honestly because that's what I was brought up on. And I mean, they were never bad, you know.
Dude, it's like a north for me. It's like north versus south,
kind
like,
of
Lowrance is, like is king down here, and Hummingbird just is so dominant up north.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And for me, I've owned them all. Right now, I'm in the boat. I have all three brands. I have Lowrance, I have Garmin, and I have a Hummingbird, right? The only reason there's a Hummingbird left on my boat is because it hooks up to my Altrex. So, you know, okay, you know. I
have been down with you. I've seen some of the problems you've had with Hummingbirds.
Oh, God. Dude, remember the time I super glued one together?
Yep.
Yeah, I was the king of literally last year, the king of lemon hummingbirds.
It was funny because, yeah, you had brand new hummingbirds that weren't turning on, and I have an 899 that still works, like before the Helix series came out. You know, that's what I meant. I grew up on the hummingbirds.
You ran them, and it's just like the one, the cables would not. I got so mad. Oh, Jody Michael was livid. I go out in the driveway. Josh is at the house, and I take super glue and glue the cables onto that thing. It kept vibrating off. I had the freaking everything hooked up, and I was so mad at it.
I will say the one cable that links my two locators together, that one does come out a lot on my boat. It just doesn't fit in there very tight.
Well, I mean, we're just crawling in. We can talk about all this stuff here in a second. Probably what everybody wants to know, let's say you're going to buy a unit or whatever. What are the differences? Flat out, in my opinion, Lowrance's cabling is far more robust, right? So
I would totally agree with that, actually, yeah.
The unit that is at my console, now, the Muskie Shop does not sell fish finders, right? So
right.
I don't have to be nice about anything this evening, right? I went to a local sporting goods store, the one that's my console, bought it. It's got cable locks. It screws on. It ain't coming off. The diameter of the cable's like 3 times wider than a hummingbird. It's not flimsy.
You know, I will say that old 899 that I have, I mean, I know it's a little bit more expensive. You know, it's not the 5-inch or whatever, but that does have literally a screw that locks in place that you can tighten with a flathead screwdriver.
Well, now the new hummingbirds are just slip-ons, though.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I agree. I'm saying I wish they wouldn't have gotten away from that. Like, that used to be robust, and now, yeah, absolutely. Like, even the plastic clip ones, like, I don't like those.
No.
You get a little ice in there or something overnight, and then you can't plug it in.
Now it's not working, yeah. But
I do agree.
That's my knee-jerk reaction on Lowrance, which is like the cabling is far more robust. It locks into place off the back of the unit. So, okay, compare and contrast, and it's not right versus wrong. It's just let's say somebody's on the fence, or they hate Lowrance, or they hate Hummingbird, and they don't have either, right? We'll get into Garmin in a minute.
Yeah.
What I like about Lowrance is I feel that there is more versatility in it. Now, for somebody that is fishing, you know, weekends, or they really don't care, they just want to plug and play, I feel like Hummingbird's the plug and play fish finder, where Lowrance is a little bit more detailed.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
Right.
That probably goes along with my opinion of being more user friendly and growing up on it, you know.
Which is like,
well, it's not as complex.
Josh said user friendly. It's like, tell me the difference between, because I think I know the answer, what you guys are going to say. But, you know, let's say you just want to adjust the contrast. You know, I need more power. I'm fishing, you know, a little bit deeper than I was, you know, earlier in the day or whatever. I need more contrast. That should be a quick process.
What, as far as contrast on the map?
Yeah, you just want to change the contrast on the unit, you know, to get more gain or whatever. Different units, maybe, you know, one might call a contrast, one might call a gain. How many menus you got to open up? You know what I mean?
I would say on the Hummingbird, it's faster. You hit power, drop down to sonar, and you go from max to chirp. Right.
No, I will say on the Garmin, it's right on the screen with the imaging. Yeah, so I'm moving there again. On,
Okay, Rolls. Mm-hmm. We're not talking Rolls Royce yet. We will in a minute.
All right.
I mean, like on my Lowrance, if I want to change the actual gain or the beam, you know, on my downscan or whatever, I've got some. I don't even know what the heck it's called. I need to look online here. I'm running some composite down scan or whatever it is. But I would say on the Hummingbird, to change the beam angle is faster. However, this is my thing is this. And again, I love it because none of us are sponsored by any of these people. So screw them.
No, we all pay them a bunch of money.
Yeah, we all pay them a bunch of money. And I went through like 3 Hummingbirds last year. The difference for me, the number one thing, is dimming the frickin' screen, Josh.
Mm, mm.
I hit power.
Hummingbird's very easy.
When I, no, it's okay.
Well, it's easy, dude, but it doesn't get dim enough.
No, here's my problem on Hummingbird. Like, let's say, and you guide just like I do all the freaking time. You come in at night, you've dimmed it down. The next morning, you got to hit power down, down, right, 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 right.
Oh yeah, true, true. Yeah.
That's it. I can in my head power down, down, right, 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 right. Up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right, A, B, select, sorry. But anyway, Lowrance, guess what we do, Josh? We hit the power button multiple times. Just tap it.
Okay, yeah, that
just
is a little simpler. I'll give
just
you that.
Just tap it. That's annoying. But, you know, as far as user interface, one thing I'll say is this. If you're looking for a unit, you want to change units. Configuring the new Lowrance unit, to me, is the easier of the two. So the combination of screens. So let's compare apples to apples. What are you running right now, Josh? Which was a Hummingbird Mega SI?
I have a 7 and a 9. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm running HDS, or excuse me, I'm running Elites. Thank you very much. I'm running the Elites, which probably cost less than they actually do, just a better name. I'm running Elites on my boat. As far as screen configuration, and it's just opinion based, dudes. I mean, it's freaking, if you want to listen to Musky Tips, we'll get there. But
oh, absolutely, yeah.
But for me, the Lowrance, I go into the menu, I hit the freaking thing, and it's like, add this screen and add that screen. Hummingbird seems a little bit more limited, where it's like, this is visible and that's not visible, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. You can only choose between so many screens, you know, and you can only have two at a time. You definitely can't have it split into, like, four. I believe Lowrance lets you do that. Is that correct?
You can. You can do up to, don't quote me on my elite. I think it's four.
I think, right, yeah.
Which no one, and really, at reality, if you've got a 10-inch screen split four ways is pathetic.
It's 2.5.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wow, I think there's a boulder down there, and you hit it.
You'd be better off with that Piranha Max we were talking about bigger screen size.
Bigger screen than what you're splitting, you know, until you get a 60-inch screen. And we're just comparing, and Josh is not, again, I love it. We're just riffing.
Oh, absolutely.
Lowrance, waypoint button. There is a flat.
We just got a mark button.
Well, and then you got to go and edit.
That's true. You had to change the name and everything.
I just got to smack it and hit save. So there's that.
Too many steps is what you're saying.
Too many steps. It's like, it's not better or worse. It's just what you're used to.
Right.
I'm trying to compare and contrast.
I suppose one big thing that goes along with the Lowrance versus Hummingbird is also the Minn Kota trolling motor, you know, because that's what hooks up to Hummingbird. Well, and I guess that's also part of the biggest thing is, a lot of us up here have been loyal to Minn Kota long before, you know, the locators really even started coming out that linked up.
And you
get, so then a lot of us just went Hummingbird because we already had the Minn Kota.
Well, you got a real, and that's a Southern thing, which it was the motor guide in Lowrance. And there for a minute, and Lowrance now has their own trolling motor, but it was motor guide and Lowrance had combined. Right,
right, right.
And Minn Kota,
we just had already had the Minn Kotas, you know.
Yeah, and that was it. So, I mean, you know, as far as it, and it's not about brand loyalty be damned, you know.
Right.
But that's why I think it's a north-south thing in some capacity, because down here, in a lot of guys, your old school guys, I mean, there was a certain point where it was, you had a motor guide tour, you had nothing. Right, that was the bad dude trolling motor, and now it's just like you got Garmin trolling motors, Lowrance trolling motors, Minn Kota. The motor guide is almost just in the rear view window at this point. You know,
do you know where motor guide was made, like the factory?
I think Is it?
Because I'm wondering if that's part of why it's the north versus south. Because it's, correct me if I'm wrong again, I believe Minn Kota is in Minnesota.
I'm not sure. Let's see. About us. I don't know. There's a dude that's on the pro staff with me at Livingston that I think he just won something. I'm not sure where they're based out of. I'm looking.
Okay.
Who owns Motor Guide? Atwood Company, which is, I think Atwood's like Walmart, isn't it?
I have no idea.
Anyway, like you get a Walmart, it's like everything's Atwood. But nonetheless, do not buy a Motor Guide trolling motor. Let's just leave it at that. You know, they separated from Lowrance, but great point, because it was like Motor Guide and Hummingbird paired up earlier and so everybody got in the habit. You know, as far as, I mean, if I was to me, at least to summarize my point when it comes to the Lowrance for the Hummingbird, Hummingbird is plug and play. Absolutely. If you are confident in what you're doing, I think Lowrance is a good option. If you're like, okay, this is my first fish finder, right? And you're running a basic setup, I think the Hummingbird's a better option. You know,
I honestly wouldn't disagree at mm-hmm. all with kind of anything you were saying there. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we're creatures of habit. And, mm-hmm. you know, like I said, I got in with the Hummingbird probably because it was more user-friendly and hooked up with Minn Kota. And, you know, once you get good at reading something,
it's
working for you. You know why? You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it's working for you, why switch over?
I think with a Lowrance unit, you can screw it up faster. Right?
How's that?
Huh?
How's that?
By getting too deep in the settings.
Right. Okay, that's kind of what I figured you were getting
beam
at.
Beam width, you can get into the collar palettes, you can get into all these different things a little bit, opposed to like on Hummingbird, it's like this, you've got 10 or 15, whatever it is, screen options, and that's it, right?
Yep.
Opposed to you can mung up your Lowrance real quick and you go, okay, I got a map and it's 2.5 inches wide and I've got nothing else. Okay. Right?
Kind of like taking apart a reel you shouldn't.
Right.
You know,
yeah. It's a little bit more advanced. But anyway, that would be the compare and contrast. Now, Josh, where we agree, in a perfect world, my entire boat would be Garmin.
Absolutely. After running it for a full season now, their technology is phenomenal. Now, the one question I do have about Garmin, because I have not had any issues, mm-hmm. I don't know, have you talked to their customer service? The one thing that scares me with their customer service is the fact that they are such a broad horizon company, whereas Hummingbird and Lowrance are more just like the marine electronics. Garmin does everything. So I'm just worried that their customer service isn't going to be quite as good or as detailed as, you know, those companies might be.
They still have military contracts and stuff like that.
Oh, mm-hmm. and they make GPS finders and watches.
Yeah.
And,
it's
a ton of consumer goods.
Yeah.
The
to be honest, when I called them to order my locator,
uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure if I understood the lady right, she explained the two models backwards to me because I ended up getting the one I didn't originally want.
Right.
So, you know, that might be, like I said, just not necessarily as well versed with their products because it's such a broad rising company.
Yeah. I good point, which for me, I would be like, I know Hummingbird has a really good customer service program, right?
Oh, they even have like Facebook pages with tips and tricks. And right. Oh yeah, it's very true. Yeah.
However, for me, like I've not had a glitch at a Garmin, so I've not. Right, you know neither, what I'm saying? Yeah. Had to call.
Haven't had the need. Yeah.
Haven't had the need. Now, from a nerdy, I program computers for fun place, I think at the end of the day, the difference. I don't think that Hummingbird. Okay, and we're not talking. We're not talking. Panoptics yet, right?
Right, right.
But let's talk Hummingbird, Garmin, Lowrance, the three, right?
Yep.
If we're comparing apples to apples, which is down scan, side scan, mapping.
Yep.
Dollars to donuts. I think Garmin's got everybody licked because we all use smartphones. We're all used to that interface, and that's what it feels like.
Well, and not only that, but, you know, I don't change mine from Panoptix a whole lot, but I was playing around a little bit, and I did look at, like, just the base mapping that comes on the Garmin.
Yeah,
and I mean, it was way more detailed, way more accurate than even the $150 Lake Master chips I'm buying, you know, which are after the fact. So even though Garmin might be a little more expensive, I don't have to buy that chip. So that's added in expense now to the, you know, the Humminbird or the Lowrance as well.
And you know, back to the nerdy thing, I think my stuff is about the ecosystem, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. It's just this, we're having, not an argument, but for terminology, the argument between Android and Apple, right?
Yep.
They all do the same thing. Like, for me, I'm an Apple guy. I pull up my I pull up my Lowrance and there's like sonar, down scan, side scan, and they look like apps, right? From your home screen. And you've got this menu of like, on mine, I think there's 6 or 7, and you touch them and it takes you to that.
Yep.
Which is, I think Garmin has gotten that linear interface down the best.
I mean, I haven't really played around with the Humminbird app on my phone, but the Active Captain with Garmin, oh my.
Shh, don't tell anybody yet.
Wait. Shh, oh, okay.
We'll get there.
Okay. Okay.
That's Papa's secret.
Okay, sorry.
No,
okay.
I would say we're just comparing the three, which is like, to me, having all three on the boat right now, Lowrance is like the iPhone, right?
Yep.
Garmin is more I know this sounds goofy, but dude, you got to think about how much time you spend on your phone every day.
Well, right? Honestly, Steve, I would say that regardless of whatever company you're with, I mean, personally, like I said, I'm Samsung, your iPhone. I think Samsung's more user-friendly. I'm sure you'd say the same about iPhone. Uh-huh. I think those two companies, Lowrance and Humminbird, are your Apple and your Samsung. And then Garmin is something that's above them that hasn't even come out yet in the phone world.
Most people
haven't even come out yet.
I mean, in the phone world, I'm serious. It is above and beyond, I think, by quite a bit.
Josh, can we all agree? Mm-hmm. If you're Samsung, I'm Apple. Jay is track phone.
Okay.
Hey, I gotta go. I'm almost out of minutes, Steve.
Jay's been paying.
Did he save any rollovers?
You would not believe how much it costs Jay to do the podcast in minutes every month. He's like,
oh,
Steve,
run me ragged.
Call me after 8. I gotta go to the Quick Trip and get some minutes. I don't know. I mean, I love what you said there, because it literally is. It's like, at the end of the day, because people ask all the time, Humminbird, Lowrance, what is it? Like you said, it is Samsung, it is Apple, into the Garmin, right? Not into the Panoptix yet. I just think Garmin is, it's the cat's meow. At the end of the day, the way they've laid things out, you go, okay, it takes me about 3 seconds to get used to one of those.
Now, keep in mind, as we've gone over, Steve is Apple, the Rance, I am Samsung, and Humminbird, and this is one thing that we can agree on. So,
do you know why? Because some really smart dude, like when I built 360, right, or we did like, you know, Paul did Musky Country or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's a terminology that comes up in tech, and we're sort of bridging the gap between phishing and tech right now. UI, user interface. It's everything.
Yep.
It's absolutely everything. What is your thought process? How do you assume we're going to get somewhere? That's why Facebook and Twitter and all these different things are like crack, right? Someone far smarter than us has sat down and go, huh, this is how the average schmo thinks this should work. That's UI. That's user interface.
Yep.
Garmin got it figured out. And they're like, oh, that's it, boys. Hit that button.
See, now, part of that probably does, though, go along with being a larger company that specializes mm-hmm. in all sorts of other stuff.
Yep.
You know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where they got that. And, yeah, they have that figured out. And it makes quickly. A lot of difference.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yep. Now the thing, and we're not going to talk Panoptics yet. We're just riffing on these. Everybody, and that's the thing. I love this conversation. It's not musky as much as, like, it's Black Friday. It's the holidays. You know, you got a gift card. You got freaking, you know.
Garmin's were on sale. Yeah. I picked another one up.
Grandma so. Ethel got you $50. Josh, I got your text yesterday. It said you. It just said I got a new one. It said you got one. So that's my unit.
So
you would give that to me, sir. But you know, Garmin sort of figured out, I think, that very linear flow to things, right?
Yeah.
I don't have, let's say I'm a guy that doesn't have any fish finder on my boat, or I just have a very basic one, I think Garmin, like the Garmin Echo America, Garmin Striker is where I'm going.
Right.
You know, because like you said, you can get the Garmin Echo map, and I don't care about price or whatever. There's plenty of different variants there.
Right.
But if something that you're going to jump right into and it's going to make sense and it has good mapping, I think is the Echo map.
Well, you know, you brought up, you know, fluidity on the river earlier, mm-hmm. and you want to talk about fluidity. I mean, everyone uses the smartphone. You've never used a locator. That is fluidity right there.
Oh, it like feels like said, a smartphone.
It's the same thing. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Jay texts me all the time on my Garmin. He sends me dank Steve Paul memes all the time. But anyway, so... we're just sitting here. I'm glad we have common ground there, though, Josh, where it's not like Lorenz versus Hummingbird. And
oh yeah, we're not. Yeah,
but just, yeah. We're both Garmin fanboys. So we talk down scan. Let's move on here from just kissing company butt. Side scan. I would say this, and I will acquiesce that I do believe that Hummingbird has the best side scan, though.
Okay, I mean. That's all I've used. Like I said, I haven't used mm-hmm. it on the ranch, and I've never been disappointed by it. I always thought it was pretty good.
I mean,
you know,
in the hierarchy of crap, right?
Yeah.
And if you look at, I'm sort of backwards of what I'm doing, but in a perfect world, let's say, Josh, you're like, okay, I don't care. I can buy whatever I want as far as units. Hummingbird yeah. side scan, right? Lowrance yeah. down scan and mapping. And Garmin Panoptics. It's like, that's perfect. I'm a little backwards on my boat. But as far as side scan, what are you using side scan for? What's sort of your thought there? Like, how often are you using it? I don't use side scan too terribly often, but what's sort of like your thought when it comes to side scan?
To be honest, when I'm running guide trips,
mm-hmm.
you won't see me have it up once.
Really?
Nope.
What about spec trips though? Like, because we talk about often, like, where are the weeds? Are you using on weed edges, like, to sort of get a concept in your head at
all? Yeah, that's what I was getting at. So, mm-hmm. I mean, 90% of my guide trips are on the same body of water that I've been fishing for years and years mm-hmm. and years.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't need side scan. I know where those weed edges are. I've been running right. them for years.
Right.
But, like, new lakes, that, and then yeah. I won't take clients typically to new lakes. You know, those are my days. I'll explore or mm-hmm. something, try to figure out a new lake, get on a new bite. You know what I mean? Obviously, if a client wants to fish a specific lake, I'll take them there.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I'm typically only using side scan when I'm on a new body of water to mark structures, and see
cribs and edges.
I'll look at the map, you know, and see, oh, okay, this point sticks out. And side scan, what that allows me to do is I can drive around that point
uh-huh.
and get an idea of where the weed edge is and how it lays out, as opposed to, like, before side scan, you used to have to drive over it with down imaging to figure that out.
Right.
So you can now basically see what's going on the spot structure wise before, you know, without running it over. So if you want to fish it, you now haven't disturbed that spot.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, good point.
On your Hummingbird, right? Let's say we're running a point, this conceptual point you just talked about.
Yep.
If you see the edge on your, or your side scan, can you mark it?
If I believe I can scroll over to it and mark it, yes, but okay. I don't know, how exactly that all works out. Because you're not moving the cursor on the map, though, is the problem. So I don't know if you can actually do that or not.
I know on Lowrance you can. That's the one thing, and I'm not a Lowrance fanboy, but nonetheless, my favorite thing I forgot to mention, Lowrance versus Hummingbird, right?
History?
Yeah.
You can go backwards on your screen. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. How deep was that fish? Oh, he was at 15.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how I knew that?
I don't know. So we drove past him. I got to go drive and try to find him again.
Backed it up. So,
I'll give you that.
Oh, yeah. Back that screen up.
Yeah.
You're a big, fat muskie. What, you back that screen up? Sorry. little Master P. I on the side scan, like, I know what you're saying. I think the clarity though on the Hummingbird's better, and I've seen it on your boat, and we've talked about it. Like I said, it's not about the marking of things, but
right,
I feel like you've got a better visual, a crisper visual on that.
Yeah, I'm with Josh. I've only used and been in boats, other boats that have with side scan that have used Hummingbirds, and it's amazing.
Right.
Amazing.
Where you got these guys, your Minnesota boys swearing by it because you're up on these sand edges and the fish are just off the reeds and you can see them.
Yeah. Right.
You know, where it's like, oh, there he is. You drive past him and back up and do your thing.
Oh, marking cribs. And you know, and the density of cribs without going over them, it's amazing.
Yep.
And I think all three of us, and Jay, you've done it with me on the boat, and I know you've done it solo, which is like side scan for me is quickly revealing the cover, right?
Yep.
Cover and structure are two different things. Right. If you don't, if you're wondering what the difference is, revisit the podcast on structure. Cover and structure are two different things. Show me the cribs, show me the weed, show me the timber. Right. Bam, 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 bam.
Now you bring that up. That is one other area I will use side imaging. I don't do it a lot, but if I troll, I will use side imaging when I'm trolling.
Really?
To see what the bait. Yep. See what the bait balls are kind of doing. Gotcha. You know, I'll scan back and forth between my 2D down and my side imaging because I want to see. You know, my baits aren't running necessarily right behind the boat, especially if I got a planer board out. I kind of like to see, you know, where the bait balls are sometimes if I'm in suspended water.
Hey, Josh, do you know why Jay got side scan?
Why is that?
To see if the cops found what he did in the 80s.
God, the Rod Father did it. Yeah, shut up, right. Dave.
There's barrels at the bottom of Bucket Tobin.
Wow. Where'd that come from?
I don't know. Anyway, moving on. I would, you know, I'm sort of with you where I'm no side scan master, but let's say, you know, again, pontificating about options here. Let's say we're in that Lowrance zone, whether the Elite or the Garmin Echo Map or the Hummingbird, where you have down scan, you got mapping, you got side scan. You can make a lot of, like you said, Josh, but out of the side scan of seeing where those bait balls are in relation to structure, finding your structure quickly and using your down scan to understand their depth. I would say the shortcoming of side scan for me is understanding where things that I'm seeing are in relation to the bottom. Right?
Yeah, that's where that comes in. That is the toughest part of it, and that's reading shadows. That is definitely the hardest part of it, and figuring that out, that's when you really get good with side imaging. And yeah, that's not necessarily an easy thing to do.
Not something you do in an afternoon. Right.
No, that's, years kind of looking at the screen and driving around and seeing what's going on. And yeah.
And you realize that mark is relatively X amount of feet off the bottom. It's a weird thing because it's sort of a guess in my book.
No, right? I mean, you don't know exactly. I mean, I can tell you this is 100% true story. A couple years ago in a tournament, I'm fishing with a guy, and we're actually fishing in his boat. And he goes, hey, I just marked one on side imaging. He's like, it was up high in the water column. We're going to stop and cast it. Uh-huh. And no joke, first cast, here it comes on the figure eight. I hooked it on the figure eight. Small bait in the spring, long fight, you know, whatever. Ended mm-hmm. up losing the fish. It happens. But yeah, that was pretty neat. You know, he was to the point at that time already when it was still fairly new. He was like, yeah, that fish is high up in the water column based on where the shadow was at. So I actually learned a lot in just that instance, because I learned what he was able to look at and read. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to be able to do it efficiently takes quite a bit of time.
Right. I mean, I feel like, at least for the Wisconsin stuff or the weed edge stuff, probably underutilized, but probably, maybe not the most necessary. You know, right. I think it goes without saying, and we're just having a good riff here. We're riffing. Jay, turn it up to 11, please, for me.
No.
One
other thing too. I know a lot of these guys that use side imaging, you know, almost essentially to, you know, see what's going on or watch for figure eight follows.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's part of the reason I don't use the side imaging is that live scope that we'll get to.
We'll get there. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that's part of the reason I don't side image a whole lot. You know, 'cause of that.
Which to me, and here's the deal for me, we'll get there, but side imaging is the past. That happened. Right. That already happened.
Right.
Opposed to this is what is going on now with live imaging.
Right.
And I think, like I said, for me, it's just like, okay, where's that tree? Where's that rock? Where's that?
Right.
It's back there.
Right. Cover is semi-permanent due to seasonality. So the weeds are X and X, right? I mean, we could go out on Josh, I've taken you out there, and Jay, the lake, we got the big trolling guy this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lake Winnie. But, you know, I could go out there and scan it with side scan and go, there's the weed edges everywhere, and take us 45 minutes. So it's beneficial in understanding where the cover is or interpreting structure. If you're on a new body of water or a body of water you're trying to really get your brain around, you can really pick out some interesting things. And I think for me, side scan for my application, Josh, sounds like we're in the same ball game, right? Weed edges, open water bait fish, right? Cribs.
Yep. Yeah.
And
You know, if I'm jigging the open water bait fish, obviously I'm doing, you know, the down 2D. But yeah, if I'm moving open water bait fish, yeah.
And Jay is using it to see if the FBI's found his stash yet.
one purpose only.
He goes out daily and checks. He's like, no one has disturbed the 55-gallon drums at the bottom of Buckatobin. Josh, the 80s were a different time.
Yes, they were.
They called him JSE, the Lot Lizard Strangler. So, anyway, moving on. Panoptics, Josh.
Panoptics.
We'll go there.
We're going there.
Live scope.
You're gonna like this one. This technology is that above and beyond. I will talk that fondly of it. My little brother literally calls it panty dropper optics. It is that good.
Anything on the boat I can't live without.
I can't. I actually my trolling motor went out earlier this year, and mm-hmm. I used my backup boat for like three trips, mm-hmm. and
lost your mind.
I caught myself literally as I was figure eighting, staring at the hummingbird screen that was in the front of the boat, because I'd gotten so accustomed to watching my figure eight on Panoptics. Yeah.
So I don't want to talk about it. Josh knows it. I'm going to shut up. We're going to say it one time. set up your paint options, see your figure eights, and move on with your life.
Yep, absolutely. That's it. That's all you need.
Don't look for muskies.
No.
Don't get out there and go, there's one, stop it, right?
No, watch your figure eight, because you are going to see fish that you otherwise would not have. And yep. The fish that are coming in on the eight, like you, uh-huh. Sure, you might see one driving around. That could very well be an inactive fish. You yep. See one coming in on your eight.
He's ready to
that's
go.
A fish you can make that fish eat. You know, it should be ready to go. So absolutely, just watch figure eights, 100%.
Oh, Joshy Poo, you came down the first time I had it on the boat, and we stood there.
We lost suckers.
Yeah.
That was miserable.
Miserable. But, I mean, like today, right? Cold yep. Water period, 13 up, two eats.
Yep.
Everyone on Panoptics.
Yep. Well, that's what I was saying. I guess, okay, it wasn't actually miserable. It was really
no, it's
cool.
Miserable. It was miserable.
No. It was frustrating.
No, I'm saying it's like suckers. That was today. It's like in periods where, let's say it is high. Okay, we're right there in frickin' St. Germain, right?
Yep.
We're on Big St. Jay knows it like a fiend, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're off Jay's big point on St. Germain in his high, bright sun, dead flat calm. And we're running tubes. You're not going to see them. But if I come right. in and I'm got my pan set appropriately, boom, there he is. Now we know there's an active fish. And I tell my clients this. I've had too many freaking Pepsis. I shouldn't say this. Panoptics for a musky fisherman will show you fish you never knew were there. And now you know where an active fish is. And you can pattern so much faster. It's ridiculous.
Yep. That's an excellent point about that, throwing tubes, too, mm-hmm. not bucktails, but tubes, because you rarely see tube fish.
You don't
see them on figure eights. They now, hit,
that,
or you don't
that
see
being
them.
Said, I did actually have a client catch a 43-incher with me earlier this year. Mm-hmm. He didn't see it. I told him it was coming in. I was like, hey, you got one behind you. Make sure you're doing a good figure eight. He did first turn, got smoked, never saw the fish, and I knew it was there.
And dude,
it was awesome.
The amount of video we have of that for the next season of Musky Shop TV is silly, Josh.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah. It happens more than you would think. Like running
they
it for
deep.
A full year now. Yeah. Yeah.
They follow deep. Guys,
a lot of times.
We shouldn't even. I'm going to move on quickly because it's making my eye twitch that I'm even saying this. I've had about 9 Pepsis.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. I mean, people talk about to get a fish to eat in the figure eight, reading uh-huh. the fish. And, like, when you physically see the fish behind your bait, a lot of times you can do that. But, I mean, Panoptics is live time enough. You're actually a lot of times able to read the temperament of the fish on that screen, even if it's down deep past
okay.
where you can't
big
see it.
Big secret, Josh. You know this. Distance from the bait when you see him coming on Panoptics.
And how fast he's moving, too. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yep. It's the distance. Yeah. If he's right on it, speed up.
Yep.
If he's 4 feet off of it, keep where you're at. If he's
and you want to talk about vertical jigging, I could never do it without that ever again.
Okay, so
you literally see what's going on down there. If I see a fish down there, I can put my bait in front of its face.
So,
I can't make it eat necessarily. You know, I got to try to coax it to do that. It's mm-hmm. not going to guarantee you catch them.
But
it increases odds.
God, I want to talk about this. So, like, today, right?
What's up?
On today's trip, right? Coming through, I'm fishing, you know, my bend, the bend, Josh,
yep.
right?
Yep.
The bend.
Yep.
I'm fishing the bend, and I come through, client moves one, doesn't come in hot, whatever. And I'm bringing my bulldog back. And this thing comes off the bottom right under us. Right?
Yep.
And that's the thing most people don't realize is like, they can engage from anywhere.
Oh, it might have followed you in 20 yards or it might have been sitting under the boat.
This thing was right. I saw it come off the bottom.
No, and no, you no, go, I was getting, yeah, they could come from anywhere.
That's
right,
yeah, but that's what I'm getting at. The perfect point is He didn't come where you thought he was is not where he was all the time. And this thing came off the bottom at 12 feet, and I went, whoa!
The same thing happened when your mom got that huge fish.
She got smoked. Yeah, I don't even know if she, I don't know if I think I sent that picture to you, Josh. My mom came in for the birthday.
Yes, you did. You told me that story. Yeah, that was a good one.
I see it on Panoptix, and here's our lightning bolt coming off the bottom at 15 feet.
Yep.
And Panoptix has opened the doorway for me in so many regards. Again, that's where they are at. It is not where I think they're at. It is not where the seasonality says it. Mm-hmm. This is where they are.
Yep.
So the difference of down scan and side scan, like side scan is showing me where they were at that moment. He might have came up and looked at a bait, and you go, well, they're all up high.
Yep.
Whereas it's that real time. Now, with that being said, there's the Lowrance version, right? Live image. I'm sure it's all the same, and the hummingbird, but Panoptix being that. And I honestly think, and I hate to, it makes my skin crawl to talk about it, because it's been a sleeper for me for a while, and a lot of people talk about it, whatever. If money is no object, I think it's a dummy move not to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, we talked about the figure eights. It can also show you a weed line. Like we talked about doing that with side imaging. This also essentially is side imaging live time. So
live time,
and it's laid out in a grid for me too. So I can tell you exactly.
It's 30 feet off the boat.
Or 28, you know, I'm like exactly. Like to the 2 foot line or whatever, 5 feet. Like I can tell you exactly where something is. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been fishing weed edges and all of a sudden, you know, maybe a client will engage a fish and I'll see it. Or all of a sudden I'll see one sitting there cause I'm going down the weed line and all of a sudden it's there. You know, I'm not driving around looking for it, but I happen to see it cause I'm fishing where they are. And I've literally casted, you know, like, oh, it's 40 feet that way, and you land your bait right in front of it, and here he comes, and you got him, you know.
One thing I would say is this, though, the way that both of us are running Panoptix, right?
Yep.
Is in a stationary fashion.
Yes, yeah, I'm not using it to scan the water.
Do you remember when I called you and I said I got Panoptix years back? So I got Panoptix. Got it. And then I called the next day and said, I'm really disappointed. Right? I was like bummed. I was like, oh, crap, I hate this. The knee-jerk reaction of I'm going to get Panoptix on the boat and I'm going to see everything is not going to happen.
It's just the beam width, isn't that great? And I've had clients ask me, like, because there will be times I'll be like, oh, that was for sure a fish. And then other times it's like, oh, that looked like it might have been, but I'm not entirely positive if that was a muskie.
How do you not know? Yeah.
Like, right. And it's like, well, how do you know sometimes? How don't you others? And again, it's a narrow beam angle. So it all depends on how that fish swims by.
Yeah.
You know, if it's swimming right at you, it essentially looks like a beam dot. Of light. And that's it. Yeah, a dot of light. But if it swims broadside by you, I mean, you can see every fin. So, you know, it all depends.
And that's the thing is, like, I think guys will drop the anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000-$6,000 on Panoptix and go, I'm going to see every muskie in the lake. And you go, it's still data interpretation, like you said.
Right.
Yeah.
I have caught a lot of balls of light. You know what I'm talking about, Josh.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Oh, that looks like it could be something.
What is that?
Yep.
Boom.
Yep. Yep.
Opposed to the muskie that comes broadside, and like you said, I can see his tail and I see his fins and I know it's a muskie.
Yep.
You're not going to put Panoptix on the boat and see every muskie broadside and he's doing this, that, or the other, but you know.
Yeah,
and,
I see what you're saying. Well,
and the other thing to interpret too, because of the way it's laid out. Mm-hmm. Like, if the fish is swimming directly towards you, it's actually moving left on the screen.
Uh-huh.
So if it's swimming away from you, it's moving right. But then you got to figure out, okay, is it swimming left or right of the boat when it's moving up or down on the screen? So it's really not that easy. There's a lot that goes into figuring out exactly which way that fish was swimming and where it went.
Can I give away the biggest? Oh, I don't want to say it. Never mind. Maybe I should. Are you ready for a ninja secret, Jay?
Yeah, of course.
Josh, you know this. You're gonna get mad when I say it.
I'll
you'll
cool.
live.
I'll live. Yeah.
So when a musky follows, and you see him on Panoptix, right?
Yep.
Now, whether you have it or not, let's say you just visually see the follow, right? So this is for your non-Panoptix guys. So this guy follows, and you see him coming in, and he doesn't hit that. Guess where he goes? Open water. 9 times out of 10.
I've seen it. They'll sit right under the boat sometimes, too. Yep, just sit there.
When you think that fish went back to where he came, you are wrong.
Right. He's still there. He's under the boat. Somebody
under the
figure
boat.
Eight.
And the other thing is this, they'll cruise out past it.
Throw the deep side.
Yep. Throw the deep side. So if you don't have all this crap on your boat and you get a follow, and he comes in and you lose sight of him, you stayed with it. You did your revolutions. Now, the one thing I'll say is this. Another point from seeing in live imaging. If you see that fish and you visually see him, keep at it. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
He'll come back. But let's say you're confident that he's off of it. Go to the deep side.
Yep.
A lot of those fish cruise out to the deep side after that. I don't know why. The same old adage about, oh, I was figure eight and he came out from under the boat.
Yep.
That's been happening the entire time people have been musky fishing. Those suckers are coming in. They're not hanging out under the boat. They're going past you. They give up on the bait. They go to the open water, go, where did that food I was interested in go? Huh? Where was that? And then they meander back in.
One thing that I started doing a lot more, I mean, I've always kind of done this, but I started doing it even more this fall. If I was running, you know, multiple suckers or even just one, I'm putting one straight down below the boat and I'm putting it on the deep side or casting the break line. And that thing
deep
is on
side.
The
yeah,
deep
dude.
Side. Because I'm not looking for that to catch a fish. Because I'm assuming, you know, I'm thinking most of the fish are on the structure that we're casting. So I'm looking for that to catch that fish that came out on a figure eight that, you know, someone didn't see or we didn't capitalize on. And 9 out of 10 times, like you said, that fish either goes right under the boat or goes out deep. So I want my sucker on that side, not on
that's the thing.
The structure side.
He's not going to hit it when you're bringing it in.
Right.
Deep side it because... he's gonna go out and then he's gonna come back in. I love what you're saying because I do the same thing, which is like if I brought him out, I brought him off the structure side, right? The cyber casting, and he doesn't hit what I'm offering, he's not just gonna pause dead in his tracks and find that fish.
Right, yep.
Which is it breaks conventional wisdom, which was like bring a bulldog right by him.
Yep.
It's not the same as seeing it in real time, you know, both of us being Panoptix fanboys, but you can't argue with what is happening at that moment. I think that's the scariest thing, you know, where you look at, and I wish I sold Panoptix. People are going, this guy's trying to sell Panoptix. I wish.
I tell you what, man, don't believe me, don't buy it. I don't care. I'm telling you, I'll catch fish.
I could have you on my boat for 4 minutes and sell you on Panoptix. There he is. And you go, oh.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, that client who didn't see the fish behind his bait, I saw him. He didn't stop looking at the screen the rest of the day. He's like, he was watching his bait, you know, and everything. I mean, you can see it. It is that live time. Just the feedback, you know, Jay, I think you and I talked about this earlier, you know, this year. You had mentioned a lot of guys were complaining about lack of feedback this year.
During the summer. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And I was, I mean, for me, I've gotten more feedback than I've ever had in the past because this was my first year running this for a full year. And I mean, I was seeing so many things that I could have never seen before that technology. Yes.
That's a great example. You'd learn how to use it. You'd learn how to apply it.
And the feedback.
And, you know, for a summer that was absolutely devoid of follows, almost every
follows,
musky angler I had talked to or fished with, that's a great example of how it could, you know, empower your game right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very cool.
Well, we've been, rambling on for about 4 billion hours, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, for real.
Oh,
okay. Well, it's just a subject we could go on forever. Maybe we've given some great tips. Maybe we've not. Things quickly to summarize how to get the most out of your electronics, right? I'm going to say the most boring but amazing statement ever. You ready?
Yeah.
Read your freaking manuals.
And if you're too lazy to do that, at least watch a couple of YouTube videos.
God, dude, it's just like, there's a great, he was so nice. He and his wife came down. He writes the manuals for Mercury. Was on the boat with me. I was like, does anybody read this? Like, no. I spend my days in the basement off Winnebago writing manuals no one reads. Whoever designed that thing, and an engineer and a proofreader wrote that thing. But I've said it before, and Jay said it before, don't watch Musky videos. Watch Crappie and Panfish, guys. Right? The way I learned to use Panoptics was like Crappie dudes. Okay.
Yeah, I think I watched like a white bass video or something.
Right, and they're like, "Oh, here's how to see a 14 quarter ounce jig at 80 feet."
Yep.
And you go. Well,
here's
okay.
What direction they're facing inside the brush pile.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
yeah,
where I
got to
present. Yep.
Yep.
You know, the musky thing is, yeah, I caught a big fish. Look at me. I'm a bad dude. You know, nobody wants to see that. Buy my lure. So,
yeah.
The Titan, exclusively available at the Musky Shop. I'm like sort of jabbing, and then I'm like, exclusive. Crappie videos, walleye videos, is how I dial in. Now, the one thing I'd say is this, and we've touched on it. Your down scan guys, your side scan guys, don't waste your time again trying to find muskies on that stuff. Learn what these things look like on your unit. So let's say you've got a Garmin Striker or whatever it is. Watch as many crappie, walleye, bass videos about that unit. So you'll see, oh, that's what crappie look like on that screen. Those guys are going to show that there.
I get more excited seeing baitfish schools on my Panoptics than even muskies half the time.
Dude,
I'm like, oh, I may not see them right now, but
you're
I know he's here. Yeah, he's here. I was literally jigging one time on a school of baitfish, and all of a sudden I saw this big bright light just dart from mm-hmm. 40 feet away.
You go,
and the bait
boom.
Dispersed everywhere. Yeah. It missed my bait too.
but nonetheless,
you know, they do that.
Yeah, I would say at the end of the day, driving around to find muskies is a fool's errand.
Absolutely, yeah, no.
You know,
I would not recommend it. You'll go crazy.
You know, understand what does weed look like? What does this look like? You know, getting a feel for that. We talked about the hard bottom, soft bottom, all that crap, whatever. My God, we've barely covered electronics and ramble. We'll have to do it again.
I know.
we could probably do it by unit, and me and Josh can debate of what we love and what we hate again, and Jay can get in there. Anyway, Josh.
Yes, sir.
I'll say this. The only muskie guide that I endorse is Josh Krieger from Eagle River Muskie Guide Service. Period. The only guy.
How do we contact you, Josh?
Huh?
Well, what was that, Jay?
What's your website? How do we contact you?
How do we contact
you? EagleRiverMuskie.com. And that's the website. The email is EagleRiverMuskieGuide@gmail.com.
Uh-huh.
And then the phone number is...
What's your OnlyFans?
Don't have one of those.
Not yet. He's working. He's got bills to pay, boys.
the phone number is, you know, 715-891-3193. Otherwise I do. I mean, I also guide through the Musky Shop as well. So, you know, I appreciate Jay and Jim, the boys over there too. So
guys, I'll tell you this, and this is factual. Josh Krieger is like family to me and Jody. He is the only dude I trust. If you're looking for a Northwoods guy, he is the best. Period.
Well, I appreciate
Full
you,
stop.
Steve.
question. No, there are no question mark. He knows all the Steve Paul ninja moves. It's funny. I taught everything. Wow. Everything Josh knows, I taught him. I am Master Splinter. He is Raphael. I'm teasing. Not true. I get before I move, Josh. I can't rip rubber worth of shit. he's like, you're telling me you really
actually don't... that is true. I was throwing rubber down there, and you didn't lit throw rubber because of the hookup ratio.
Uh-huh.
I was like, why don't you throw rubber? You're like, the hookup ratio, and I'm like, but you throw glide baits.
All the that was during that was during the dark days of where I threw glide baits 40 hours a day. There's only 24 today. Yeah. It was horrific. Nah, Josh is the man, dude. He's awesome. Big friend of Jay's. Big friend of mine. What's funny, Josh, is you weren't even supposed to be on the podcast. You just randomly called, and we just did the massive podcast.
Bad luck.
You never know what's going to happen.
That is true. I called and kind of got hung up on, and then all of a sudden called back, and it was, hey, you're on the podcast.
this is how we do it. Okay. We don't call guests. We wait for them to appear. Anyway, guys, we will try to cover it. Like I said, you try to do the best convo you can about electronics. There's so much going on there. If you have any specific questions, write them into the Ask a Pro. We'll answer as many specifics as possible. Anyway, say goodnight, Josh. Say goodnight, Jaybird.
Thanks, Millie and Josh. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. Later.
Hey.